We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
First Four begins tonight in Dayton, Ohio, and then the madness is upon us. Hey, welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. So excited about both the men's and the women's side kicking off, Perloff. And to help us, because I know you started filling out a bracket.
Yes.
But to help us get a little more in-depth and involved here, let's welcome in Jordan Cornette, who's going to be calling games for Westwood One alongside Scott Graham. He's going to be in Pittsburgh. Of course, Jordan, great player at Notre Dame, four-year player there. All the way to the Sweet 16, I think, was the furthest you guys went and lost to Arizona, right? Jordan, welcome to the show.
Maggie, Andrew, it's good to be on with you guys. Great time of the year. And, yeah, no better way to start an interview than a reminder of a loss.
I'm so sorry. I was going to bring up Duke, but I thought that'd be indelicate, so I went with Arizona. Your memories of playing in the tournament, what's the one that sticks out?
They're lasting memories. I mean, I'm turning 41 in a couple weeks, and, I mean, you're talking about 20-plus years ago, and I still remember – both of our tournament bursts vividly. I also remember the 2 years we didn't do enough to make it, so it's why I probably lack a little bit of sympathy to the St. John's Providences of the world, these other teams, because you have an opportunity in the regular season to not put yourself firmly on the bubble. We're the last team left out my final 2 years, and you got to look in the mirror. I mean, you got to win games that you're expected to win throughout the course of the season so as not to be put in that spot. But I do remember just the finality of the tournament. The energy around it, how, you know, in college athletics, football is king, but during this time of the year, basketball gets its flowers, gets that stage, and it's really cool to see institutions rally around, the student body rally around their basketball programs as they chase a national championship. It's really cool.
But Jordan, we've been debating about the NIT and teams not going all week long. What's your take on that? Because I was looking at your Twitter feed. I don't think you were a huge fan of being stuck in the NIT when you didn't make the tournament.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm listening to all these people pearl clutching on my Twitter page talking about it's another opportunity to play basketball. Well, I'd say to those ill-informed people, like, every opportunity is an opportunity to play basketball. Like, for those who of course, if you get the invite, I think I see the benefit in going to play. But just because as a senior, when we went to the NIT, I had an opportunity to start training to go play for a career, just like everybody as they enter into the end of their senior year in college, they start to prepare for a career in business. Like, you turn the page. Like, are you guys filling out your NIT bracket? Who do you guys have in the Final Four? Which team do you guys like? Is everybody talking about the NIT? Of course they're not. It's a loser's tournament. Now, there is a benefit for certain teams. There's a very niche element for teams that maybe are very young, that have an opportunity to extend and keep their nucleus together and build for next year. You've seen that happen. But the majority, the teams that thought they'd maybe be in the dance, didn't quite do enough, they have zero interest in playing in that tournament. When was the last time you've gone back to a college basketball team that has not even rich in tradition, but some tradition? Do they bring out at halftime the NIT champion from 1992? Of course they do.
My alma mater will. GW will.
Yeah, GW may do that, Maggie. But, like, no, people don't do that. So, like, everyone wants to sit here and get up on the stage and talk about, it's an opportunity to play basketball. I get it. And I love Tom Crean. He's a close friend. But I know he would have been miserable taking a team at Indiana into playing for the NIT because he had to do it before. And so I just don't like everybody putting a lot of like, oh, go play it. It's not a tournament anybody cares about. Those were my worst memories as a player in the NIT.
Jordan Cornett is joining us. Does a fantastic job, obviously. Is going to be calling games for Westwood One. He's going to be in Pittsburgh. And we'll get to some of the teams that are in that region in just a moment, Jordan. But just overall, if you could finish this sentence, if UConn loses in this tournament, it will be because why?
It'll be because they run into Auburn. In that second weekend, and I am really taking time on my bracket to decide what I want to do with UConn and Auburn, because a lot of people have obviously the prohibitive favorite, the overall number one UConn to repeat and be the first team to do it since Florida did it in 06-07 with Al Horford, Joe Noah, and those guys. But people need to become well aware of the fact that Auburn is the lone team in college basketball that is top 10 in offensive efficiency and defensive efficiency, meaning they are the most complete and most balanced team in college basketball. Now, what's also interesting there is people might go, well, UConn's not. Well, here's UConn's metric. They are number one in offensive efficiency. They are 11th in defensive efficiency. So they're right there. These are the two most balanced teams, which is going to make for an incredible game. But it's a veteran-laden team that Bruce Pearl has. I was down there at the SEC tournament calling that championship game, calling their run with Westwood One, and I'm really impressed with that group. Jani Broome is a big hybrid big alongside Jalen Williams. They've got great guards. They play 10 guys. They get up in you with pressure, and they can score in the half court. They can score in transition. I think that might be one of the best games in the tournament if both teams are able to advance, which I expect them to, as a 1-4.
Jordan, I read a stat on the show yesterday that I saw on ESPN Stats and Info that no champion since the repeat 2007 Florida team has even made it past the Sweet 16 the following year. Is this a fluke? And even when you look at Connecticut, or is this systematic that it's so hard to not only repeat, but to do well after winning a title?
Well, Andrew, I think a big part of it is when you have that type of success, guys maybe make knee-jerk reaction decisions and elect to go to the NBA or do other things. So in a lot of squads, it's not necessarily rebuild mode, but it certainly isn't always the case of reload mode. And UConn is in that position where they're actually reloaded this year. I mean, when you look at UConn's rotation, it's two All-Americans, it's two lottery picks, it's two guys that shoot above 42% from three, and Cam Spencer is the most efficient per possession by points of anybody in college basketball, and he's probably middle of the pack in terms of most talented in their rotation. I mean, it's crazy what Dan Hurley's built there. He's built a machine. I really think they've become the gold standard. Obviously, they're the reigning champion, but he's become the gold standard in saying, hey, we did it that year, but we're going to continue to push. I mean, this is a group that's poised to be great for years to come, just with his approach. Everybody knows Dan Hurley's aggressive passion and how he goes about things. But being up here in Connecticut, living in Fairfield, it's wild to watch what he's done here and brought UConn back to real prominence.
Jordan Cornett is joining us, going to be calling games for Westwood One for the NCAA tournament. Of course, 4 years at Notre Dame playing and had a lot of success there. Okay, let's go to a team you're going to be watching front and center, and that's Kentucky. So how would you compare this Kentucky team, Jordan, to some of the other great Kentucky teams we've seen?
Kentucky has all the talent in the world, like Kentucky's always had. I mean, they've got two guys that are lottery picks in Rob Dillingham and Reed Shepard. They're coming off the bench. A lot of scrutiny there because they're coming off the bench. I think it speaks to, you know, Cal's stubbornness, perhaps, but it's how he's elected to go about this thing. It's kind of perplexing because at the same time, people are wondering, and coach is trying to figure out how to get these two off to better starts. Well, a lot of people would argue by starting them in college basketball games might help, but Coach Cal's forgotten more basketball than a lot of people know, so I'm certainly not one here to second-guess him. Biggest question mark with Kentucky this year is, can they guard? Can they guard on the perimeter? I mean, watching them in the SEC tournament, they could not keep the Aggies guards in front of them at all. Wade Taylor was dominant. Tyrese Radford was dominant. Those guys are going to be the type of guys that Kentucky's going to see in this bracket. So if Kentucky is not committed to guarding on the perimeter, keeping guys in front, it could be a grand opening, grand closing situation for the Wildcats. That being said, they average nearly 90 points per game. They're one of the most explosive offenses. They thrive at the three-point line. Reed Shepard shoots nearly 53% from three, so he can put a team on his back. But it's one of those squads where any given guy in that rotation can go for 25 in a game and take over. So they're the most polarizing team in the tournament field. They could be out in the first round. They could win the national championship.
Talking to college basketball analyst Jordan Cornette. So, Jordan, you said you were down the SEC tournament. I got to ask about another SEC team because I'm stymied by them. The Tennessee Volunteers, two seed, one of the biggest stars, Dalton Connect. But I don't see a lot of experts having them penciled in the Final Four. What do you make of the Vols?
Well, you know, Andrew, it's really interesting, and I think that's why this tournament's going to be chaotic. Once again, you're looking at a Tennessee team that is one of 21 teams in conference tournaments that were one seeds that didn't win their conference tournament. I believe that's the most in conference tournament history, which speaks to chaos, which speaks to uncertainty, which speaks to there's not a lot of brand recognition with this Tennessee team, and I'm not quite certain why, because Dalton Connect is a top five NBA talent. Dalton Connect, I watched him versus Kentucky at the end of the regular season on senior day in Knoxville in a loss, but scored 40 points. I mean, this guy is a guy that can put literally a team on his back and go win a championship. I like them. I just don't know how many others around Dalton Connect can get it done.
Jordan Cornette joining us. He's going to be calling games for Westwood One, Pittsburgh region. All right. Last one from me, Jordan. Again, thank you for joining us, and we appreciate your expertise so much. Give us an upset here. One that you like, one that you would pencil into your bracket, one of the lower seeds who you think has a chance to be Cinderella.
Ooh, I think it's got to be McNeese State. And McNeese State's become a sexy one. I think I don't have the bracket in front of me. I think that's a 6-11 game. A lot of people focus in on these, and I got to go back and check. If I get the seeding wrong, I'm
doing this all off memory. It's a 12-5. Yep. It's okay. 12-5.
It's 12-5.
Yep.
Okay.
You're close.
It's one of the sexy 12-5 picks. And it should be. Will Wade is a guy that's won 30 games with that team this year. They are so good, and this is a part that matters to me. When you look at your tournament teams and you're trying to pick teams that could potentially do an upset, this is a team that can generate offense in a variety of different ways. They can turn you over. They turn teams over about 16 turnovers per game they force. They can get up in a Gonzaga team that likes to play fast. Gonzaga plays fast. That could put them in position to maybe be susceptible to a couple of turnovers that could flip a game. This is also a team that shoots 38% from three. Will Wade's group also only takes 23s per game. That's not a ton, which means they are very selective in the shots and the quality of shot that they take. So this is a group that's well-coached. It's a group with a bunch of different guys that could fill it up. It's a group that is comfortable playing fast with a Gonzaga team that is not your granddaddy's Gonzaga squad that we've gotten used to seeing over these past years. Maybe I should say your daddy's, daddy's Gonzaga squad. But you know what I'm getting at here. This is a matchup that bodes well for McNeese State because they are equipped to run with Gonzaga. They are equipped to put pressure on them. They can halt the transition game from Gonzaga and make them work. And they can get it going from the three-point line. They're not scared. Will Wade is one of the best coaches in college basketball. Don't know how much longer he'll be at McNeese State. But they've won 30 games this year. They know how to win.
Hey, Jordan, just my personal advice on calling Kentucky Oakland. Don't be afraid to remind people that Oakland is in Michigan. That's my annual March reminder because I always get that confused.
Yeah, Greg's done a heck of a job with that group. I mean, he's been there for, what, 40 years?
Yeah.
One of the all-time nice guys, the head coach there at Oakland. That is true. I'll tell you, as I sit here and sing the praises of Kentucky – they could be out in the first round of Oakland. If they do not guard, which they've proven to be a big issue with this team, they could be done. That being said, if I'm lucky enough to come back on the show in the tournament, we might be talking about them heading to Scottsdale to play for a national championship. You just never know.
Jordan, we've taken notes on everything you said.
Oh,
this is all for the cold takes. We are keeping receipts on everything. Nothing gets by us here on the show. Jordan, thank you so much. Enjoy the first couple days of the tournament. Enjoy it. And we can listen to you on Westwood One with Scott Graham. Thank you.
I appreciate it, guys. Maggie, Andrew, good luck. Enjoy the madness. Thanks for having me on.
All right. We'll talk soon. Jordan Cornette, great job.
Yeah, my Oakland, Michigan joke sort of fell flat, but that is an annual March joke. Oh, Robert Morris is going to take on five guys himself. Oakland's not in California, it's in Michigan. It's one of the things that you only think about in March. Am I wrong?
No, I love playing a little March Madness geography game.
Like, oh, yeah. You love that game.
McNeese, I had to look it up. It's in Louisiana.
I have the slightest idea.
It's in Louisiana. I should have done as a trivia question.
Sanford was the big one. Play McNeese State in the next round. Alabama? We just talked about this.
Birmingham, Alabama.
Right.
Yeah, you were.
Because I thought it was no, because you actually did that last week on the show, and I said, that's in Georgia.
So, how many people do you think know where Wagner is?
Wagner, that's a good question.
That's near us, right? That's
yes.
Staten Island.
The land of Shaolin. Wu-Tang Clan strikes again.
Are there any other schools here that are just complete mysteries?
Well, Stetson. Do a lot of people know where Stetson is?
Oh, Stetson. I heard someone talk about that is where they filmed The Waterboy. I heard this on ESPN, but it's not in Louisiana where The Waterboy was set. It's in Georgia.
No.
Alabama.
Nope. It's in Florida.
Florida, okay.
Yeah. And people know, the only reason why we know Stetson is because, well, we, and I mean me and EJ and Pete, why do we know Stetson?
Why?
Guys.
Did I forget something?
Jacob DeGrom?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, he's a Florida boy for sure.
The Texas Ranger, Jacob DeGrom?
855.
Yeah, bringing back old stuff, man.
No, I'm sorry. 855-212-4CBS.
Greatest guest of all time, by the way.
Jordan Cornette.
He really loves the NIT.
Okay, so he railed on the NIT, and Pete loved it. Literally got in my ear and said, this is my favorite cast of all time, because he agreed with you. However, we saw from Jordan's tweet that he played in the NIT, and for some reason they were playing One Shining Moment as the players were coming out on the field. That's like a tournament trolling these guys.
Wait, that's why he doesn't like it, probably.
I know. We had been talking about the NIT for too long, so I had to move it along to the actual March Madness bracket, but yes, that was a detail from his.
But he was home for that game.
Was it a home game or a road game?
It was a home game because he said he just missed a tournament.
Wow.
Just saying. That's what his tweet said.
Yeah.
The MC at Notre Dame. I hope they're doing something else.
Maybe he was joking, but that's what he said. 855-212-4CBS. Maybe the wrong playlist or something. Speaking of which, our March Madness Maggie and Perloff style bracket, one-hit wonders. We've already got some early results and some early upsets. We'll get that to you next. Don't move. It's Maggie Perloff, CBS Sports Radio.
The Defensive Player of the Week is sponsored by the Navy Federal Credit Union, who proudly serves the Armed Forces, DOD, veterans, and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. I got it this week. I'm going to nail the Defensive Player of the Week, chosen by EJ Stewart. I saw a stat yesterday that blew my mind. Second half of the season, Victor Wembanyama is averaging twice as many blocks as the second leading person on that, 4.6 per game since it might be the All-Star break, but certain period of time, Victor Wembanyama, finally Defensive Player of the Week.
I think he's gotten it like seven times. EJ usually switches it up. That's why I don't think it's going to be Wemby. I think it's going to be something from... EJ loves college basketball. You don't think he's going to do something from one of the conference tournaments that we just saw? He definitely is. This is more about reading EJ than it is even about knowing sports.
Which is why I love it.
I feel like it's a good time to throw in Wemby. Okay, I have no idea.
All right, so the Defensive Player of the Week this week is Taman Lipsey of Iowa State.
Thank you.
He had four steals and a block in the Cyclones' Big 12 championship win over Houston, a game in which Houston scored just 41 points in the loss. Those people that are nervous about Houston and their bracket is in part because they watched this performance. Taman Lipsey, an awesome point guard who also had six assists. He's the consummate floor general, but you're talking about defense. The two guards for Houston, L.J. Cryer, Jamal Shedd, two stars, shot a combined 3 for 29 in the backcourt. So Lipsey was all over the place. He dominated the game from start to finish. Not a guy who needs to score a lot of points to make his impact. He showed that in the Big 12 championship game. So Taman Lipsey, my Defensive Player of the Week.
That's a good one. I thought it was a stretch at first, but you're right. But those Houston guards they'll miss shots on their own. Hey, I got one more. Where is this college game for you?
Oh, I know you guys love this. March Madness geography. Go ahead.
Okay, you guys all might know this, so maybe it's easy. Drake.
Yeah, we talked about this before.
Oh,
yeah,
we did
talk about this before. Drake is...
We talked about having celebrity fan Drake, but we never said where it is.
Oh, I did, but you guys may have...
No, we were just talking about this. Drake is in...
I don't remember you said the actual location. Sorry.
No,
he did.
EJ definitely said it, and now I can't conjure it. It's not Ohio. Ah.
Iowa.
Ah,
which is why
you.
I'm excited, because we may see a Taman Lipsey matchup against Drake,
yes,
who's in Des Moines.
Okay. Real quick, I'll go next level. Give me the city for these colleges. I'll give you just two. If you could tell me, Florida Atlantic, which city?
Boca.
Okay.
I actually called a game there once.
South Dakota State. Anyone gets this, I'd be wildly impressed.
I don't know if I know any cities.
Pierre?
No.
Is that North Dakota?
Grand Rapids is a big city.
Is Sioux Falls in South Dakota?
I think that's, Falls. No, I don't think so.
Is that North Dakota?
That's
or South
Iowa,
Dakota?
Isn't it? I don't know.
Oh, maybe. You could be right about that.
It is in Brookings. Oh, no, Sioux Falls is South Dakota. You're right.
Oh, okay.
Pierre, yeah. I was right. Pierre is in South Dakota. I could have been right, but I was.
Yeah, same here.
Pierre's, so that's the capital.
All right. Yes, we know cities in South Dakota.
I just happened to look. I was looking. I'm like, how can I stump you guys? Because you've gotten every college state. Could I give you a city? South Dakota State, Brookings, South Dakota, according to the website.
What about Creighton? People know that one.
Creighton is, yeah, that's in St. Louis, right?
No.
No, not St. Louis. Creighton is in Indianapolis.
No.
No. Maybe that wasn't
Iowa
an easy
city.
One.
No, it was in Nebraska.
Omaha.
Oh. Yes.
Another quick Nebraska thing while we're doing this is not a geography thing. I was stunned to realize yesterday that the Nebraska men's basketball team has never won an NCAA tournament game.
Wow.
They've never won.
Tyronn Lue went there, right?
Yeah, he did.
He never won.
Nope.
Never won. And I believe they're the only Power 5 conference team to never win a tournament game.
Yes, and I was looking up some of the history of the Nebraska men's basketball program, and guess what? Way back in the day, I'm talking like the 19-teens, they had a coach whose name was E.J. Stewart.
Wow. Get out of here.
Yeah. According to like Wikipedia, I didn't cross-reference it. If I'd been actually writing a book report on this, I would have found a second source. But E.J. Stewart, according to Wikipedia, coached Nebraska men's basketball.
That's pretty cool. I was watching Wisconsin versus Illinois on Sunday. And because, you know, Iron Eagle kept saying A.J. Store, my girlfriend walks in. She's like, hey, E.J. Stewart. I'm like, it's not that close. She's like, it sounds like it. I'm like, no, it doesn't.
We still don't know E.J.'s middle name.
That is hilarious to me. This is like a 4-month thing on this YouTube chat that nobody knows my middle name.
I have a guess.
Ooh, okay.
I think it's J, J-A-Y.
We know it's a J. We know it starts with the letter J.
J?
Yeah. Oh.
Clever, but no.
A guy named Guy?
Right.
Clever, but no.
It's not right?
Oh. No. Wow. This is a good guess. I kind of like that one.
I stole that one from The Simpsons, but you know.
1994, Eric Piakowski was one of the leading scorers in the nation in Nebraska, but he couldn't get it done in the tournament. Now I'm fascinated by this.
Isn't it crazy?
It's a crazy anomaly.
I think they've only made it like eight times. Eight or nine.
It's not a great basketball.
No,
area.
I know.
I mean, it's. I guess it shouldn't be that surprising.
I just think anyone in a Power 5 is one
right,
of these.
Right. At some point, you're gonna. But honestly, I think there may not be a program who cares more about football and less about basketball in terms of the spectrum than maybe Nebraska.
Oh, we could find another one.
I don't know. They haven't won a tournament game ever.
That's interesting. That's interesting. The football basketball balance is always fun.
For a while, I think it was probably the opposite with Kansas. More about basketball, not about football
at all.
One.
Kentucky, too.
Famously.
Duke. But Kentucky's, they're starting to get starting to get lit now with Stoops.
Yeah. Now they're starting to win a little bit.
Well, yeah. Remember Stoops came out and said, now we're a football school. And Calipari did not like that.
That was delusion on his part.
Fighting words. Did we do enough?
Unless you want to, this
NCAA
I mean, I could go.
Longwood?
I think we could save this all week. Oh, Longwood. Yeah, Longwood Gardens, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Nope.
Did we talk about? No, I do not. No, I did not after I butchered Creighton, which I must have known at some point in my life.
Sure. Farmville, Virginia.
Oh, Farmville. Like you, did you know
I
that?
Knew a girl from Farmville. No, I did not.
Has Longwood ever been to the tournament? I don't remember much about them.
I'm not sure.
I don't think so.
Yeah, like this is kind of a new one, right? We're used to all the 16 seeds like Stetson. Oh, yeah, I've heard that name before. Sanford, sure. St. Peter's, love them. But Longwood, not so much.
Peter Schwartz is here with headlines. Hey, Peter.
Good morning. We will start with baseball, and the Giants and free agent pitcher Blake Snell have reportedly agreed on a 2-year, $62 million deal. The reigning National League Cy Young Award winner gets an opt-out after the first season. Now to the NBA. We'll start in Los Angeles.
Hart searching. Payton on him. Brunson gets it back. Open. Three-pointer. Pucks it in. Jalen Brunson, 26 points. And the Knicks back up by 9.
My apologies. That was Mike Breen calling the Knicks-Warriors game. I'm always good for one of those mistakes every day. The Knicks beat the Warriors 119-112.
At least you're hitting your averages.
Jalen Brunson led the way with 34 points. Now to Los Angeles.
Russell for three. Good again. D'Angelo Russell is up to 27 points on 8 of 13 shooting, 6 of 9 from 3.
That was John Ireland with the call on Lakers radio. Lakers over the Hawks, 136-105. D'Angelo Russell, 27 points. LeBron James, 25. And speaking of LeBron, teaming up with J.J. Redick for a podcast that will be pure conversation about basketball. In a promo for the podcast, LeBron says he would play inbounds coverage differently, entirely.
There's a lot of things, other things I would do in basketball, too. Like, it's a couple other coverages I would do. The pick-to-picker, B.O.B., not bombs over Baghdad, but baseline out of bounds. Yeah.
America's play.
Yeah, America's play.
Yeah. LeBron also.
So this is going to be like a really heady basketball podcast, and I'm assuming it's going to be simulcast, too, on some kind of visual aid as well.
There was a video in this clip, but I don't know if that's going to be every episode. I have no idea.
Whoa.
Okay, so you get some really in-depth J.J. Redick, LeBron James talking hoops.
Like he's reinventing the wheel of basketball?
I mean, I think this is going to be for some... I think the hoops people are really going to like this. You're going to get a little insight. I mean, I've thought about this.
Yeah.
You know, Tom Brady calling games. Tom Brady's got a sparkling personality, but we're doing it for the... We want to see him because of the football. I want Belichick, you know, potentially doing media, not because he's this, charismatic dude. It's because you want the football. To have Brady... Or excuse me, to have LeBron and J.J. Redick talking in-depth X's and O's?
I think pretty we good. Underestimate for some basketball fans how disappointed and frustrated they are with basketball discourse on the internet and in media. Because in the NFL, you have your big pie-in-the-sky talking points, and then you have Amina Khan's who will break down stats left, sure, sure, right, and it's made her a megastar. I think there is a place for this. My only concern would be, will this become a thing for actual basketball fans of learning about the game, or will it be about, hey, this is why my era is better and why I'm the greatest of all time from LeBron James?
Oh, and you're worried about an agenda.
That is my concern, is that the agenda will creep in and make this something that nobody wants.
My concern is the general vibe of it is very, I can't put my finger on it. There's two bottles of wine sitting there.
Yeah.
It just feels like, oh, so pretentious. J.J. Redick, I mean,
J.J. Redick
and LeBron, too. Like, both of them are polarizing, just kind of know-it-alls a little bit.
And we don't have a shortage of those podcasts around.
Yeah.
We don't have podcasts like this, Pete. I would disagree with that.
I was going to say, I think the Gilbert Arenas podcast is kind of taking a different tact. You get a lot of top fives, you know, hey, who are your top five players of all time? And then we, you know, pick apart younger players who put Paul George in there and stuff like that. If they're really going to try to educate the fans and do it in a way that people actually want to hear it, so that's a thing.
You just turn me off with educate the fans.
I don't want to be basketball the homework.
I don't need education from LeBron James about basketball. Give me something that's entertaining. Talk about football. You know what? I don't want to hear about you talk about basketball. Talk about football. Talk about the Joe Torre coming out to the mound to take the ball from Carlos Rodon. Talk about different stuff. Stuff you wouldn't hear them talk about.
I agree with
that's what I'll listen to.
You want LeBron talking about anything but basketball?
Well, he's so good at football. Great at football. So, yes, definitely.
You want LeBron James, like, where's Kate Middleton?
Why not?
Okay.
But how come we celebrate the Manning cast for having fun, but also breaking down the
game? This is not going to be fun.
It sounds like he wants to, like, change the way you play basketball. And I think a lot of basketball fans are not going to like this. You've played basketball a certain way for all these years. Now, granted, they've changed the rules here and there. Sometimes fouls are different. You know, the way that they interpret the rules. But it sounds like he wants to, like, change the way. It's like taking the kickoffs out of the NFL. Like, how many things about basketball does he want to change?
I think the Manning cast is entertaining, not because of the X's and O's. It's when Peyton and Eli make fun of each other. And I hope that J.J. and LeBron have fun with it like the Mannings have.
I think they got to find a mix. But I think I speak for a different side of the internet because I know where you guys are. But the basketball discourse is broken. it's broken.
Even using the word basketball discourse.
It is, though. I mean, there's no other way to say it. I mean, basketball talk, whatever. But, like, it's not because we are unable to talk about the game without making it a top five list, without making it a legacy game.
Oh, that's true.
And there are fans who dislike that. And they're out there. It's not like I'm making up the wheel or making something up. So, now, I don't know if this is the answer, the presentation. I agree with Proloff, sipping wine. LeBron's like, hey, by the way, let me give you another second glass. It's like it's a little weird. And everything LeBron does is a little weird. So I got to take the bad with the good, I think. But I'm willing to give this a shot.
Well,
it's not going to be for everybody, but it's not for everybody.
So here's the question, though. I wonder about the basketball discourse, as you said, and it's broken. But is that the dog wagging the tail or you wag the dog? Like, who is responsible most for ring culture?
It's a great question.
Is it the players themselves, or is it the media and everything post Michael Jordan? I don't think that the fans are all totally to blame here for the basketball discourse being broken. And then I also would say,
I don't know if I blame the fans,
one part of that the internet is having one conversation, and the other I would say was probably who? Barkley, Kenny, Shaq as the number one basketball pregame and postgame show. And then whatever's going on ESPN.
Well, I think the problem is my issue as an NBA fan has been we do not have both. Is that if you turn on NFL, if you're on ESPN, you can watch a certain show that will give you hot takes, whatever, left and right. You can get what you want, and that's fine. But I can also turn on NFL Live, and that's not just like a bunch of people talking about who's your top five quarterbacks. Yeah. Like that gets a little in-depth, more in-depth than you would expect. The NBA just does not have that. And I think that is something that is missing, and it does lend itself to the discourse that Warley Proloff hates becoming very, in some people's minds, toxic.
Well, there's a show, ESPN Matchup, with Greg Cosell and Sal Palantonio for years on ESPN.
I love that show.
Yeah, but it got pushed till 7 a.m. on Saturday morning because if you're not doing the hot take NFL Live stuff, you have no chance. Right. People do not want that X's and O's. It's been proven time and time again in football. Yes, Mita dives into that, but she also does a lot of entertaining stuff. And, I think you have to have a balance, like you said.
Right, yeah.
And the other thing, too, about LeBron, what we'll do is we'll pull quotes from this all the time, just like Tom Brady's podcast. Tom Brady's podcast, no one ever listens to that, but we play the sound all the time. That's my sense. I've never heard anyone say, oh, God, I got to download Tom Brady. I think it's going to be similar. I don't want to hear Tom Brady talk for an hour and a half about football.
How many segments have we done, though, on this show where it's been Aaron Rodgers talking about, hey, Dak Prescott and the way he's doing his cadence is so interesting? Or Tom Brady saying, hey, the way this guy is playing quarterback. Like, that's not, Prescott's a top two quarterback. That's a totally different thing. And my point is that for basketball, we don't even care about that.
But we'll pull LeBron talking about that stuff just like we pull Brady. We're just not going to listen to it because it's not going to be entertaining, I think.
I like the fact that we're going to have access to J.J. Redick is fine, but access to LeBron's basketball mind is something that is pretty unique. Oh. If he's going to be...
Why is that so important?
You like being spoken down to?
I don't think he's speaking down.
LeBron's basketball mind. By the way, you sat there and complained when Michael Jordan got to control the narrative of Last Dance. I think Jordan's basketball mind was annoying enough.
Oh, I didn't complain. If Jordan would give us a little more of the secret sauce and not the fabricated, I made up that this guy gave me a slight so that I could drop 30 on his head and embarrass him. That to me, though, has just got stale.
But LeBron's IQ is
it's elite. High.
I mean, it's one of the greatest.
I would love Jordan talking about actual basketball. Jordan himself has leaned so far into the mythology that I don't get basketball from Jordan. I get vengeance from Jordan. I just get revenge. And I had the ball in my hands or I was guarding you in the last possession.
And one of the things we're seeing in this sport as well, I think is different than other sports, is the disconnect between how the game is played today and fans disliking it is also extremely high. Baseball has a similar problem as well. People don't understand why people are taking all these threes. People don't understand why there isn't more defense. And if you're going to try to, again, educate or at least present in a better way why the game is being played today the way it is, this is the way you do it. You don't do it with saying, well, again, this is my top five list or whatever. And that's fun. And I love doing it and we'll continue to do it. I'm just saying that there's the fans that want more of this, but there are also fans who hate the way the game's being played. So if you can't explain to them how the game's being played, then what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to sit there and just go out there, score your 35 points, and have people say, oh, look, see, the guys don't play defense here. Like, I sat courtside next to Perloff, and you watch that game. I know that was one of the worst NBA games of all time. But I watched that game, and I'm like, man, the physicality is totally different up close and personal. It's a totally different game.
They changed. I mean, that now I'm seeing a lot of data. The officials decided they're not calling anything anymore. Right. Silver came out in January, so now it's a defensive game. Nobody likes that either, ironically.
All right, what do we solve here? I don't know. I think we're going to listen to LeBron's podcast with J.J. Redick.
It's just a combination of LeBron and J.J. We can't underestimate. You get LeBron and J.J. together? I will listen to it because it's LeBron. I mean, he is very entertaining as well, but that's a lot to handle. You have to acknowledge that those two personalities are quite confident in their own abilities.
You know where the NBA lost me? The NBA lost me. We talk about ring culture. When LeBron went up to that school with Jim Gray, that's where the NBA lost me. And the super teams came into play, and it was all about them, and it was taking over the front offices. And that's where the NBA lost me and lost the casual fan. I'm always going to be a Knicks fan, but they lost the casual fan on things like that when they turned into super teams and threes and whatnot. And that's why when you get to things like this, people turn away from it.
Mm-hmm. But what else
never,
we got, Pete?
You're never going to watch it anyway, though. So I'm saying if you
That's not true. That's not true. I sat there waiting for LeBron to make a decision like everybody else. He could either come to the Knicks, he was going to go somewhere else, and then we found out he was going to go to Miami, but he made it a big charade, and it was a big thing that for was sure. blown way out of proportion.
Yeah, he's
and
never gotten over it.
And it turned people off.
It never got over.
If he never did that, would you say, okay, now I'm going to sit here and listen to this two-hour podcast and I'm talking baseline out of bounds
plays? We wouldn't be going down the road of super teams. That was the whole thing. It started the whole thing of super teams. And the emphasis off of the game and off of two-point plays and off of actually playing, getting in the paint. That's what happened with that.
We'll have to dive into that another time.
That's really interesting, yeah.
Any more headlines, Pete?
Let me run through a couple of the scores for the final time this morning. Bulls over the Blazers, 110-107. The Sixers beat the Heat, 98-91. You had the Celtics over the Pistons, 119-94. The first four tonight in the NCAA tournament in Dayton, Ohio. And one football note we didn't get to this morning, the Saints signing free agent defensive end Chase Young to a one-year deal yesterday, reportedly a fully guaranteed $13 million.
Peter Schwartz, thank you so much. Great job this morning. Coming up, got a little Cowboys news for you. This one, weird to say, is it's sneaking under the radar just a little bit. We'll get you all the latest details next. Maggie and Perloff, CBS Sports Radio.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Video. Cowboy quickie for you, a little update. Cowboys just slightly reducing the Dak Prescott salary cap hit. Perloff won't bore you with the details, but $5 million roster bonus converted to a signing bonus. So now it's $55 million as opposed to $59 million. Yeah. So congrats.
A little, too little, too late. Too little, because what's $4 or $5 million going to do when you've done nothing your entire free agency period? Now, listen, I am of the school that free agency signings are generally overrated because there's a reason players get to free agency. But the Cowboys had real deficiencies. They can't stop the run, and they really couldn't run the ball. They needed something here, and they have done nothing.
Absolutely nothing. That's your Cowboy quickie. Real quick.
Do we know if they're going to extend Dak? They have an offseason to work on this. There's been real no concrete indication one way or the other.
No, I've seen a few people mention that this is just a positive sign that they're talking.
Yeah.
Because if you need Dak Prescott to sign off on this kind of restructure or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I guess they are talking. I think your original point is it. I think they're going to wait this out. I think the Cowboys, this is an invitation. This is a non-invite for a contract extension, and they're going to let Dak play out the last year and McCarthy play out the last year.
I'm not so sure.
Oh, you're going.
I'm not so sure either way. I think it's very, very possible. But his agent, Todd France, does last-minute deals. You know, there's a lot of extensions coming up that we haven't even heard of. Correct me if I'm wrong, but there are four or five quarterbacks. What do we know about the Tua deal?
Trevor Lawrence, Tua.
Yeah, what do we know about Trevor, Tua? So these deals, what if it becomes a domino where one guy signs, the other team say, oh, shoot, I should sign too.
Okay, just some quick stuff here. Our bracket challenge, still open. Come join us. Our pal Nick in Texas puts together our Pearl Jam, P-E-R-L Jam. This is season 3. You can find this on CBSSports.com, or you can just check out our social media. You can follow the link, sign up. Nick does a great job. He runs our unofficial Facebook page, and we just like Nick. And he started doing this bracket. We get nothing from it. It's absolutely free. We just all do it for fun. So come along and play with us. The other part is the Maggie and Perloff March Madness bracket of one-hit wonders. Now, we revealed the last call region earlier today with number one seed Baby Got Back, Sir Mix-a-Lot. But I have some updates. updates from the weddings region from yesterday.
Okay.
Now, if this was an actual NCAA tournament, this would be the most memorable tournament in the history of the sport. Because not only did we have a 16 seed over a 1 seed, we had a 15 seed over a 2 seed. So the committee really bleeped the bet on this one.
Yeah, I saw some complaints about Tainted Love being a 16. I'm too young to understand whether that was good or bad. I'm sorry.
Tainted love.
It's not your fault, EJ. You did nothing wrong. Tainted Love comes up with a massive 16 seed over number one seeded My Sharona, 52% to 47%. This was just stunning to me. I still thought My Sharona was going to win. And then the 15 seeded Pump Up the Jam beats out second seeded Groove Is in the Heart. So, bottom line, anything can happen in this tournament of one-hit wonders. Now, another big upset in this region, the weddings region, 11-seeded Funky Town takes out 6-seeded Got to Be Real.
Funky Town's iconic, right? Everyone knows it's in a million movies. I just think that one word, Funky Town, stands out.
Everyone wants to go to Funky Town.
Yeah. Got to Be Real is an amazing song, but the quality of song does not seem to be a huge factor here.
No. So the other matchups went chalk. So the Macarena beat out Rico Suave. That was a landslide. Jump Around by House of Pain beat out Bust a Move by Young MC. That was another landslide. Ice Ice Baby sneaks past Mambo Number 5. Whoop There It Is takes out Barbie World. That one was not even a contest. And then Teach Me How to Dougie over Walk It Out, very close. That was 53 to 46%.
Prediction.
Yeah.
The winner of the second round, Tainted Love versus Macarena, is in the final game. That is a one. And by the way, just like last year's Final Four on the men's side, you could easily get an 8 seed advancing because it's the era of Cinderella.
When it comes to one-hit wonders from 25 years ago. So there you go. You are welcome to vote on all of these. Again, we just released the second region, the last call region, so you have plenty of time to go vote at Maggie and Pearl on Twitter.
As you would not underestimate jump around. I think we are on in Wisconsin, and of course that has essentially become the Wisconsin anthem because what they do at Camp Randall with the fourth quarter beginning. So I thought that'd be a much closer match between Bust a Move and Jump Around, and it wasn't. So I would be, I'd be wary. Taint the Love and Macarena are juggernauts as we see now, but I'm concerned about that matchup because of our Wisconsin contingent.
I think it's the wedding bracket. Weddings have kept Macarena. Weddings and any kind of Sweet 16s, bar mitzvahs. Macarena is a staple. So I think just the fact that most people can do the Macarena is going to help it a little bit in that.
Do you think they still play it as much now?
Oh, yeah. I've done it at least five times in the last 5 years. Yes.
Really?
Oh,
wow.
I was on a cruise ship last summer, as I talked about. The cruise ship had family dance night, and of course they're going to play Macarena, right? If you're 5 years old, you know how to do the Macarena.
I went to like a million weddings last year. I'm trying to remember. I don't know if
that's
I went
probably to, way
I'm not
cooler.
Sure if I went to one that had one.
You probably went to pretty hipster, cool weddings. I have to imagine.
Maybe, yeah, a little bit. Some of them, not all of them.
Be on a cruise ship with a bunch of 78-year-olds, and Macarena is getting played.
Cruising through Eastern Europe.
And hands up playing too.
Funky Town will definitely, you know, I think being played at events is big. Ice Ice Baby is going to be a juggernaut. Ice Ice Baby versus Jump Around, that is a heavyweight battle. That's good.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, this is, you know, murderer's row of a region. I thought the last call region, as we said, headlined by Baby Got Back.
This is a good one, too. I think they're all murderers, bro.
Some other really big ones that you can go and vote right now, again, at Maggie and Pearl on Twitter. Return of the Mac is a 3 seed here. Hey Mickey is a 9 seed.
Yeah, what's Hey Mickey going against?
Kung Fu Fighting.
Yeah, I mean, geez.
It's a matchup of the tournament, probably.
Who let the dogs out? Who, when I tell you, Perloff was lobbying for this to be a 1 seed.
I think there was a lot of arguments at the committee about the original seeding that Maggie had for who let the dogs out.
Yeah, just
I originally
you don't,
had them very low.
Listen, none of us want to hear who let the dogs out. The second we play it, it's stuck in your head right now. But you cannot. Can't deny its power, though, Maggie. We could probably get the Baja Men in studio to play it for us at a certain point.
Yeah. Can't host an hour.
Other big ones in the last call region, Just a Friend by Biz Markie. I thought 8675309 has been around for a long time. And then Come on, Eileen, which is very popular.
Kind of an iconic one-hit wonder. Yeah, this definitely... This is strong. You don't like to see any team go home. But they'll come back. Are we going to do a one shining moment for this?
Well, is one shining moment a one-hit wonder? No, Luther Vandross had a lot of hits. That's not right. Thank you, EJ Stewart. Thank you to Pete Pilotti. We'll have a whole new bracket tomorrow. What do we say we're doing tomorrow? Cruising?
Cruising.
Cruising bracket is tomorrow. Cruising
songs,
region.
By the way, just so we're clear about that.
Yes, this show's going to take a weird turn. Thank you to Peter Schwartz. Thank you to Andrew Kaplan. Thank you to Jordan Cornette, who joined us. It was fantastic. The Weedos, the coffee drinkers. Oh, boy. Tomorrow, more one-hit wonders. Right. Stay hard.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.